can talk about those things that's affecting the community as far as a minority perspective. We gave an update about the driver's license changeover from Cass Avenue to Martin Luther King Boulevard Avenue, and Ms. Linda shared her experience with getting her license changed over. So we want to encourage those folks that's still out there on Cass Avenue, well, Martin Luther King Boulevard, if you have not gotten your address changed or your license changed over, please make sure you get that done as soon as possible, because I think that the cutoff time is the beginning of January, and we have funding. We got funding there to help those residents on that street to get their license changed over, and they won't have to come out of pocket. So we're really blessed to have that happen for us. The other thing that we talked about is getting the time of our minority meeting changed. We've got a survey out there on Facebook to survey the community to see about time change, because a lot of people can't come in the middle of the day at 11:30
right.
in the afternoon. A lot
right.
of people, some people work out of town, they can't get there, and we want all voices to be heard. So we've got a survey out there. So if you go on Facebook, you'll see that survey that we've shared, and we'd like to get some feedback on that. As you said, Johnny was there at the meeting. He's going to give you some updates on housing. And we did some voter education. We want people to really, really, really get out and vote. And one of the things that is going to take place when it comes to voting, the Marion Minority Commission is doing a Souls to the Polls. That's the Sunday prior to Super Tuesday, as we call it. So it's actually this coming Sunday. It's early voting, typically,
right.
and it's folks want to get out. We'll be having transportation. If you need transportation to Souls to the Polls that Sunday, not that Tuesday, but that Sunday, you can call Logos Ministries by dialing 740-223-1515, and we will get you to the Board of Elections. And however, we ask that you call either Friday or Saturday so that we can know how to coordinate if folks do need a ride to coordinate for that Sunday. The Souls to the Polls is going to take place from 1 to 3. However, I think the Board of Election is open to 5, but we're pushing Souls to the Polls from 1 to 3. And once you go and vote, you can come across the street to the Chambers of Commerce, and we're going to have some food there for you.
Right.
So the Marion Minority Commission is providing food and just food and fellowship. So
right.
If you're getting out of church, like me, I'm a pastor, I'm running. So once I get out of church, I can vote, then just go across the street and we can have some food to
right,
eat.
Right.
So we encourage the community to do that. Voting is so important.
Yes, it is.
And we want to give a shout out to the League of Women's Voters of Marion. They had candidates night last Tuesday, and that was really, really, really good so that folks could educate themselves on those candidates that's running for different offices, those that were there, so we could hear their perspective on what they are going to do for the community, and questions was asked. So
right.
give a shout out to the League of Women's Voters. That's kind of it in a nutshell that I have.
Right.
Johnny got some other stuff that he'll share with you also.
Okay, thank you for that. I'm Pastor Jackie Peterson of Logos Christian Ministries, and also a member of the Marion Minority Community. And once again, you are listening to The Chat with Linda Sims live here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. And remember, if you would like to touch bases, have any questions, or make any comments with our guest today or myself, please call 740-383-9944. And at this time, we will turn our attention over to Johnny Jackson.
Mm-hmm, correct.
Great. I wrote that down. I've been getting that confused with Johnson.
It's
but
okay.
Anyway, he's ready.
Yeah, definitely.
To respond. Go ahead.
So I want to keep adding on to what Pastor Jackie was talking about, what Souls to the Polls. The theme this year is come and participate in our democracy and also early voting. As a young man in Marion, I think that it's very important for us to come out and rock the vote. come out and talk.
Rock the vote.
Rock the vote.
That's
really
good. I like that.
We really have a really huge voice here in Marion.
Mm-hmm.
When we're thinking about education, early childhood, housing, transportation, a lot of those levers that are pushed here in leadership, we really got to have a good chance of participating and talking about who we want the future leaders to be in Marion. I know many of you might have saw the Marion Star article about the 12 future leaders here in Marion, and it wasn't very diverse.
It wasn't.
It was not. And a lot of us took issue with some of the younger people of color here in Marion, the movers and shakers that do different work.
Right,
Whether it's on breast cancer awareness,
if it's
in the clergy community, in fitness and community organizing and small business.
Right.
And we really want to make sure that we put our voices in voting, but we also put our voices at the front of what leadership looks like in Marion County. My job is going to be, while I'm there, is collecting data. That's one of the things that I do, is we want to collect the first 100 people there and make sure that we understand what'd you hear about the event? How did you hear about it? Are you excited to vote? Not just who you're going to vote for, but really thinking about, like, how do you get active in democracy?
Right.
But the other piece of democracy is steering people to get involved in the Marion Minority Commission.
Right.
Also in our housing coalition.
Mm-hmm.
And then also there are other active groups that you can get involved
right,
in.
Right, to be community oriented. Yes, absolutely. Yes. Right.
So we want to do that. And then another piece of what we're going to do is those people that are not registered to vote, we want to get them registered to vote.
Right.
Because this year we have a vote coming up, of course, for local leaders.
Mm-hmm.
But next year we have a big vote coming up.
Yes, we do.
For
President of the United President States of United America. States. Yes.
And we want people to be excited about voting.
Right.
We know in the state of Ohio and other states that there are people that want to suppress our vote. So we want to get people excited about the opportunities of voting and what leadership might look like here in Marion County if we get excited about that.
Right, absolutely.
And then the other hat that I've been wearing here in the community is around housing.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Linda, you came to our kickoff event for our housing coalition.
Yes, I did.
And we had about 30 to 40 people there.
Mm-hmm.
They were really interested in talking about what we frame safe and affordable housing in Marion County.
Right, right,
I live on 181 Stark Court, which is in between Columbia and High Street.
Mm-hmm.
And we have about 6 abandoned houses that have been in disrepair for at least the last 8 years.
That's a long time.
We also have vacant lots that are there that they get consumed by mattresses or like paper or
other people's junk, right?
Other people's junk. So one of the things that we are doing on our housing coalition, we're looking at three vantage points. First is inside the house. How are people experiencing housing in Marion when it comes to the interior? And I do want to shout out Legal Aid and also the Marion Fire Department,
right?
Because they have been in partnership with us. Also United Way and OSU Extension. We've been working together to see how people are experiencing housing on the inside and then outside and then the neighborhood. And there are three action-oriented groups that people who might be tuning into your radio station or might be here in the studio that can get involved.
Mm-hmm.
These action-oriented groups are interested in getting funds to help people get help on their housing.
Right.
We're also interested in doing grant and aid blocks to attract better housing here in Marion,
mm-hmm.
or at least redo the housing that we already have, because that's a big issue, is safe and affordable housing,
yes,
particularly for renters.
Mm-hmm.
So part of the conversation that we were having, which I think that Ms. Sims, you might be able to chime in on what your group talked about, is looking very broadly at how do we do things like renew the downtown, but also in our neighborhoods? How do our neighborhoods become safe and affordable? And we really want to push that conversation because renters should have a voice and a lot of what goes on in housing. So we would love, we're going to invite more people on to our Photo Voice project. That's the big next step, is we're going to pay people to document how they're experiencing housing. And if you need the contact information, you can email Gurman, I think it's gurman12@osu.edu. Or if you email me, my email is cuejackson@gmail.com, and I'll get your information to her. But we can talk a little bit more about what that looks like. So those are really the two projects that I've been working on, Soul to the Polls and also the Housing Coalition.
Absolutely, and they are great things to be working on. We have a lot of people who are disenfranchised who are willing to pay their bills or make sure that their rent is paid and their utilities are paid and may not have sufficient heat for when it really gets cold, because we live in Ohio and it gets sub below zero weather. That's how our temperatures do range, you know. And if you can't be comfortable and warm, that's not safe.
Because
you can get sick, colds, flu, pneumonia. And we've had a lot of that.
Yeah,
believe
right.
me. You know, every winter there's a lot of that, and it's on the rise, it's on the increase. So is that, does that have any bearing on not being able to have sufficient heating in your home, or maybe your health care is not right? Maybe you're not even eating right. And we have been addressing all these issues.
Of course.
You know, like the free produce that comes, you know, those are, that's healthy food that people need, you know, need to have access to. Now, our group talked about those things also that I've just mentioned. Safe and affordable, and the legal aid concept of it.
Of course.
Where you could put your rent in escrow, and your landlord could be addressed about fixing the things without backlashing at the tenant.
Definitely. And that's that's been a big issue that we've talked about several times with renters here in Marion, is that they're renting a home and maybe there's something that needs fixed, but possibly their landlord won't fix it.
Right.
So they feel like, well, what can I do? Well, that's where we've talked to legal aid, and legal aid has some different levers that they can push to help them, whether it's contact the landlord on their behalf, or if it is taking that rent and putting it in escrow.
Right.
One of the things that they have said is that the rent has to be current.
It has to be current.
Yes, you have to be current on your rent. But it's good for us to have that, just like voting education, renter's education, knowing our rights as renters. Is
or
really
home
important.
Owning education, which we all heard last week. Now, that's a big responsibility,
it's a
owning
big responsibility.
A home. And we all understand that.
Yes.
But why aren't there classes here to teach people how to be homeowners?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
We need those kind of things.
People need to be empowered.
They do.
Yes.
So they can have, you know, they can have pride in having their own.
Of course.
You know, just like we have Habitat. And it started out low priced. Now they're up in hundreds of thousands building homes. So we need someone else to come up under them or either put them in a position where they can do sub-housing. Instead of just one big old beautiful home, which is, I'm not, you know, degrading that or putting that down. That's a beautiful thing. But what about, just like in the city, they can buy those units. That was my thought. They can buy those units. Habitat put like side-by-side apartments. Buy them. Sell them to those young people who need homes and need, if you're not a homeowner, you have no power. No power.
Home ownership, it's power. Buying land.
It's power.
That's power.
Even if it's a subdivision or you're in a unit. But it's your unit. You know?
It's yours.
And I thought we should even bring some of that to the table.
Definitely.
And if Habitat couldn't do it, maybe there's another agency who could come along beside them or up under them and do that. We have all this land.
And so often we don't think about leaving a legacy. It's just like the now.
Right now.
You know, we've got to think about those that's coming behind us, our children, our grandchildren.
Right.
You own land, you own a home.
Yes,
that's a legacy.
Power. Yes, it's a legacy and it's power. It's power. I mean, that's your money that you can move with and do things with and you know, build upon. That's your money.
Yeah.
So that's what crossed my mind.
Definitely. And that's such a great point that both of you all bring up, Pastor Jackie and Miss Linda, is that land is power. When you want to send your kid to college, or if you want to buy a new piece of land, or if you need to take out a second mortgage, a lot of middle class families in America, that is what they use to barter with, is their
land,
home and their land.
Right.
There's it's in Albany, Georgia. It's called the New Communities Land Trust, and it is a what it's called is a community land trust where people get together and they invest their money in buying plots of land together, so that they can think and envision a more foreseeable future together.
Right. That's what I was thinking.
Community-based ownership, or what they call like emoja,
right.
This community-based
right.
way of thinking right. about ownership.
Right.
Can I
yes.
comment on
of
Georgia?
Course.
That's where my husband is from.
Uh-huh.
He's from Tennell. And I do have an uncle in Augusta, and my dad's side of the family is from Camilla. Mm-hmm. I know 10 families down there, and they all, 10 black families,
right.
they all own their own land.
See, there you go. Yes, there you
plus
go.
Some.
That's what we're talking about. Anyone, yes, you know.
Yes.
But that's wonderful.
Yes.
That's
yes.
beautiful. Of course, that's why you're here.
Yeah.
To add, you know, or take away, whatever.
Definitely.
Yes. Did you have anything that you want to talk about? But that's what I'm talking about. You know, just like apartment complex or subdivisions. Mm-hmm. You know, they can be two at the top and two at the bottom. Why aren't these people allowed to buy these things and learn how to be responsible?
Mm-hmm.
You know, take a class.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we did at Habitat.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I knew all that stuff, but they made me take this class.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
You know, how to put my money in the bank, how to, you know, set aside this, and how to add up what you have to spend for the month. And,
right.
you know,
mm-hmm.
they were teaching people they didn't know so
yeah.
they could keep their homes.
Yeah.
And sometimes we can't wait for people to do it. We have to go after it
mm-hmm.
and put it together ourselves.
Yes, yeah. That's why I'm bringing it up.
Yeah. And
so we can
go
after it.
there are definitely community resources here in Marion that we could tap into.
Yeah, go after it.
For first-time home buyers, if you take a class through OSU Extension, they'll help you with the closing costs and the first month's mortgage on your house.
That's huge.
And
it is huge.
And these are things that a lot of people don't know. Again, same as political education for voting,
right.
housing education is something that is very much needed in our community.
Yes, it is.
Just like we pass knowledge down from older generation to younger
generation,
we have to keep doing these intergenerational things like
right.
this.
Mm-hmm.
It's passing knowledge to each other.
Absolutely.
And you're absolutely right, Ms. Sims. Mm-hmm. When it comes to co-ownership of land, there could be intergenerational housing developments where, not like projects, I'm
right.
saying, that are state-of-the-art, and you're renting to own,
mm-hmm.
and you actually are owning that place. That way you
right.
have an investment and you can sell it to someone else.
Right.
That could happen.
Yes.
But it is going to take time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I know that HUD has grants to do that.
Oh, really?
The HUD has grants, what they call them, Healthy Choice Neighborhoods.
Okay.
And these are based on mixed income, because mm-hmm. we don't want to have just upper middle class neighborhoods and then lower
income.
Class.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is the school systems in those neighborhoods, if you're in low wealth,
mm-hmm.
they definitely change.
The education changes and everything else. I understand that.
Okay.
Yes.
So you want to mix people together.
We do. Like
yeah.
that's America. Like
right.
that is
that's
really
America.
what we're thinking about continuously. And the other piece of that is if you have better mixed income communities, the education outcomes are better.
Okay.
Like I know that as an educational researcher, mm-hmm. that when you have mixed income and diversity is at the forefront
mm-hmm.
of building communities and schools, you see the educational outcomes are better for mm-hmm. those people.
Right.
Also, the health outcomes are better for particularly communities of color, black folks. So that's one of the things that we're trying to envision together.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, we don't always want to be at the back door.
Definitely.
Trying to get in.
That's right.
You know, and we don't want people to always think that they have to give us a hand
out. A hand out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Instead of a hand up. Mm-hmm. You know, and like, you know, like they said, James Brown used to say, open up the door, I get it myself. You know, he said, I don't need you to give me nothing. Just open the door, I get it myself.
Which is so true.
Yes, and that's what we want. We don't want anybody to hand and get feed us by hand and mouth, you know. Mm-hmm. We're able-bodied people.
Definitely.
We can do these things, you know. And people, minority, you know, because we're always at the back door, you know, trying to get in. Mm-hmm. And we can't get in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a few of us slide in or walk in. But we want it to be more, you know, functional for people to.
Definitely.
Who really wants to move up in the world, you know, and contribute to our community, to our city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, they're building up our city, so let's build up our citizens in the city, right? Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. That's
and
right.
One of the times I was on your program once, you said something that it sit with me. You said something about, we want a seat at the table for the future.
Yes.
And that very much hit me in my chest like bricks.
Because
if you're building a lower downtown, you're building downtown, you're revitalizing those things, we want a seat at the table because we have talent here that can envision Marion just as good. If you're building up neighborhoods, we also want that.
Yes, we do.
If you're rethinking schools, you're rethinking universities, you're rethinking.
We want that too.
We all want that seat, and we don't want to be tokened. We people there that are ready to give.
Voice of the people.
Right, sure. Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely, because we earned it. And as Pastor Jackie can share with you, as far as Marion Minority Commission, we speak for minorities.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we bring the minority perspective to the table.
Right.
Yes, because we don't always, the majority can sometimes forget about the minority.
That's
so
true.
We have a voice, and that voice is represented around the table in a very respective way. We bring our concerns, and then we also look for solutions. We put solutions out on the table also. It's not just like a gripe session. That's not what it's about.
Right.
But it's about bringing those concerns of the citizens from a minority perspective, and it's given out. And we look for how can we make it better.
Oh, yes.
And that's what we're looking at, make it better. We are action-oriented.
Yes.
We're not just bringing stuff and just dumping it, but we are action-oriented.
Right.
What can we do? What is needed to be done?
Right.
And I'm grateful because we even have it from the Hispanic population has a seat at the table also, which is good. It's minority.
It's
just not African Americans, but it is minorities.
That's right.
I have a question concerning voting. How often should a person register to vote? So if you registered to last year, do you need to register again this year?
Only if your address has changed. If your address has changed, if your name has changed, any changes, then you need to re-register. Yes.
That's very important.
Yes, because if you get married, you know, your name is changed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Your last name is changed for the women. And if your address has changed, most definitely you need to go in and get re-registered.
Okay, and my other question for voting is, if you have a felon or a felony, how long do you have to wait to get your rights back to vote?
That's a good question.
Right. It's one that I can't answer. So I think if you go to the Board of Elections, they probably have a helpline or something where you can call in to find out. But that is a good question because so many people's votes has been suppressed because they don't think that they can vote because they're felons. But some states, they actually have where you can do that.
Yes.
So I'm sorry I'm not up to date on that part of it. But Lewis, you may.
Yeah, I'll try. Like my mom is. She's a felon. She spent, I think, about 5.5 years in Marysville, and she's eligible to vote. But every year what she does is she goes up and she checks.
Make sure that
she
she's registered.
She makes sure. Mm-hmm. But even me, I don't have anything on my record, but I still every year I make Double check and go check my registration.
Yes, you can plug in. There's a system you can plug in and make sure your name and stuff is there.
Right. But there is no waiting period.
No.
Once you release, you are given your right to vote again.
What?
It's not taken. Once you're released from prison and you go get your ID and all that updated, they register you to vote at that very moment.
Oh, really?
Really? Really. So there's no waiting period. That's
is that for all
concept.
States? Is it for all states?
I know it is for Ohio.
For Ohio? So,
yes.
Okay.
I know
that's
it is for Ohio.
Enough, people think that they lose their right to vote.
That's right. It's a myth.
That's right.
And maybe that's another voter suppression.
Yeah.
You know how you get something going around and, oh, I can't do this and I can't do that? That's not true.
And that's the importance of these type of conversations. That's such a great question. Because I know a lot of people that do feel that way.
Right.
Whether it's things like getting their driver's license, voting,
housing,
even things like going to volunteer at the school for their children's whatever. And it's like it takes a perfect example of the importance of the Marion Minority Commission. I brought a friend there that had some issues with going to the school and supporting her two daughters and their whatever they were doing, their activities. Because she had a felony, she felt uncomfortable because certain personnel at the school made her feel uncomfortable. Well, we had a chance to talk to one of the superintendents there, and they cleared up that, like, no, like, you can go and volunteer and everything, because putting a young person in Marion City Schools, that's something that we value. So it does. It takes some time for us to really re-educate someone
that's
around
true.
What we can do and our rights.
That's true.
Well, I guess another question comes up, you know, when it comes to this working in a school system, you know, because you have to go through the background check.
Of course.
True.
So
sure,
once you've went through the background check and they find that there's a felon, are you able to be a mentor in the schools? Are you able to work in the school? That's another question, because I had to go through the background check. I mean,
of course,
thank God I didn't have anything, but that's a question.
Right.
Do they, if you do have something, are you able to work in the school system? And I think that's a very fine line there. You
I
can't
think it is too. I think
be around
non-violent
children.
Crimes.
Non-violent crimes.
Yes.
On the crime.
Or sexual offenders.
Yeah, sexual offenders. You definitely
can't be anywhere near the school itself.
No.
You know, they should not be.
They're not allowed to live around the school. So
right.
They can be so far away in their residence around the school.
Right.
So, no, they probably really just can't.
Right, right. So you're talking about non-violent crimes, which a lot of people go to prison for, non-violent crimes, and they get these extra large sentences.
Definitely.
You know, and it just, I mean, things that... that we're not going to be able to change anyway.
I was looking in the newspaper maybe today or yesterday, and the first cannabis shop has opened up in Marion, Ohio.
Yeah,
is it open?
Friday.
They had a grand opening Friday.
Wow.
So I guess this poses the question, all those black and brown folks that have gone to prison for selling marijuana back in the day, now what is our state going to do to be, you know, retroactive in helping either expunge their records or
there
invest in them to be a part of the cannabis, like, economy? Like, that is the part of it.
I heard that was a bill that was coming into effect, that some people would be able to get their marijuana charges expunged somehow. Yeah, I don't know exactly what it is, but I heard them talking about it.
Well, coming from a pastor's perspective, if you're going to legalize marijuana, then I feel that all those people that's got them 25, 30 years locked up for marijuana, I feel that they something needs to be done about that.
Yes.
If that's what's going, if that's what's happening, you know, from a human perspective, you're going to lock me up for 25 years and now it's legal, but I'm still locked up. So that's a conversation. I'm sure they're having it, but that's just my opinion. I'm coming from a pastoral opinion.
Revamping needs to be done.
Exactly. Something needs to be done.
Absolutely.
Because you've got some good people
of
that
course.
Got all those years.
Yes.
I mean, they you know,
all walks of life. You know?
That yeah. if we're going to be fair, we have to be fair.
Let's be fair. So. I agree with you on that.
And
a lot of people
go to those things because they want fair housing.
Yeah.
They want to be able to put food on their table to feed their children because they can't get it anywhere else.
They want a job.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Not yeah. Well, the jobs is not a problem really in Marion anymore.
We give applause to our city, Marion,
yes,
Ohio, who has all these jobs.
Lots of jobs.
The second chance program for people who are released from prison, and I think they do a great job.
Yes.
People really just
have to take it. They have to take advantage of those programs.
Yes.
You've got to put the work in.
Yes, you do.
You can't just think it's going to be easy. You got to put the work in. You got to go at it.
Because, like we were saying about James Brown, you know, just open up the door and I get it myself. But if the door is open, walk through the door.
Yes.
And don't you have no misconceptions or have drummed up in your mind, well, I may go today, I won't go tomorrow. We need our young people.
Yeah.
We need them to be active in working and in our community. Marion Minority Commission, Community Voices, the radio station, the TV station. We need our young people.
Yeah.
We need to fast for our young people.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
We really do. Fast.
Yeah.
Pray.
Yeah. Yeah. Fast for the youth.
Yes.
They've got a lot to contend with. When Miss Linda, you and I was coming up.
No, it's not.
They've got a whole new animal that they're dealing
they
with.
Yes, I mean,
they're afraid to go to school because could be gun violence. And it's just a lot that they have.
And
thank you, daughter, for saying we need to fast and pray for our young people.
We really
do.
There's a lot of fear out there.
A lot of fear.
And fear is leading their lives and pushing them in areas that they may not necessarily go into. Mm-hmm. But they're afraid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't know. They're afraid, and they're hiding.
Yeah,
some of them are hiding.
They are, because they're afraid.
Can I add to that?
Yes.
My daughter, she goes to Grant. She's in eighth grade, and she was getting bullied by a girl for a whole year.
Mm-hmm.
And the school wouldn't do anything about it. It was so bad that she wanted to be homeschooled. And at first, I was angry about it.
Mm-hmm.
I was angry at the girl. I was angry at the whole situation because nobody wanted to make amends of it. But then I started praying for that girl,
mm-hmm.
me and my daughters did.
Right.
And the girl apologized
to
my daughter.
All right now.
She did.
All right.
And there hasn't been any problems since then.
That's beautiful.
That's awesome. And in this last commission meeting, we actually talked about Grant Middle School, how some of the kids don't want to go. I was in another meeting. I'm sorry. I'm getting the meetings mixed up, where there's a lot of violence. And we need to know why. And I know that's the age where the kids are coming into themselves, you know. But they said a lot of parents are afraid to send their kids because of the fights and all. So we really need to get in there and find out what's really going on.
The misconduct and the bashing and, you know, I'm better than you. Children are killing themselves because they're being bullied against.
They are.
We certainly don't want that on our hands.
They are.
Can I say that there, I'm not trying to put anybody down, but there is some very young teachers there that they also need to, you know, do an evaluation on too, because they're not making the matters any worse. Mm-hmm. I mean, any better. Mm-hmm. They're making it worse.
Okay.
Yeah. From our perspective in teacher education, I've been training teachers for probably the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
We know that restorative justice works. Transformative justice work, and what that really means is that when you're working with young people and you're trying to help them think about their own identities, understanding religion and race and class and gender and some of those things that are very important to them.
Who you are.
They need to know the ecology around them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But also I know that the teachers as well have to do that work around knowing who they are.
True. Right. So, true. And be firm, consistent, and fair.
For sure. That's what every community wants, right? They want firm, they want compassion, and they want fairness.
Consistent. Right. Don't change because it's this person over here. But be consistent and be fair.
And culture and diversity means so much.
It really does. Yes, it does.
When you're dealing with children.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the teachers, they definitely have to be trained in the different cultures in diversity. Yeah. I mean, just for example, the way we talk, I may say couch, somebody else say sofa. My little grandson, I say, give me a pop. He's like, what's a pop? You know?
soda.
Down south, they just say a Coke.
They say or a drink, you know? These things are important.
Yes.
And when you're a teacher in the classroom, can you just imagine all the different perspectives, all those children? You got 20-some kids coming from different households.
That's true.
And you've got to have the
different
compassion.
Languages.
You've got to have the sensitivity.
Yes.
You've got to have the culture. You got to know something about their culture.
Yes, consistent. Still got to be consistent.
Got to be consistent.
Kids pick up that little stuff.
Yeah.
Well, they don't like me.
One like this and the other one like, that's tough.
That's what they tell you in the prison system, too. If you work there, they say be firm, fair, and consistent.
Yes.
Because when somebody sees you treating somebody else better than them on the same subject, you're going to create a problem.
Yes, absolutely.
It's a problem.
Even from a pastor's perspective. Yeah. I'm going to deal with this sin. You got to deal
with it. Right. You have to do the same thing.
It's like that with your children.
Yes.
You can't award one for doing the same thing that you chastising the other one.
That's right.
I know.
That's right, daughter. That's right.
I know. But it happens, and we don't want that to happen.
Yeah. They're different.
Yes.
But you still got to be fair. Even with the differences, you got to be fair.
Because
my children, like, they're two totally, I mean, they're not children anymore, 46 and 40.
But when they were.
But when they were, still, you know, but I still had to be fair, you know.
Right. If I take it from you.
You got it, yes.
It
absolutely.
For the same thing.
But, you know, I just thought about when we were in school, Miss Linda, they had the old freshman building where we all came from different.
All different schools.
And then everybody was a freshman. That worked for us because it was exciting. Now you got all these different great schools coming in to Grant. You got all these, you know, and they're right. They're trying to identify who they are as it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just old school. I like that ninth grade all coming together at one time.
Yes.
I know we're not going to go back to that, but it was, you know,
worked. Yes, it did. You wanted to add something to that?
Oh no.
You sure?
Well, I do.
Okay, go ahead.
Because what you're saying makes a lot of sense. I dealt with that with my son. My son was in school, ninth grade, 10th grade. There was somebody in his class, 22, 23 years old. That person talked him out of getting out of class. They done went and robbed some people for their guns.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they pressed charges on me for my son being truant in school. And I had told the judge, I said, well, I send him to school. I take him to school myself.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but y'all can't keep him there.
Mm-hmm.
But with the influence on the younger kids, with the older kids, if they're not going to graduate on time, if they're not moving along like they're supposed to, they need their own school to go to. Because when these younger kids are coming
23
in,
was way
these older
too old.
People are influencing them, introducing them to drugs.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that. Some of them have already known it or whatever the case
is.
But certain things, they're influencing these younger kids to do, and they're learning the life of criminal in
crime.
And it makes you wonder, you know, Grant does have, 6th, 7th, and 8th grades.
Mm-hmm. True.
So that's typically, 11, 12,
13.
And maybe there's 14 possibly 14. Yes. If you've been held back, you got 15-year-olds influencing 11-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's
what you just said, and I was just saying, I like the fact that all ninth graders came together. You either were going to be 14 or 15 years old altogether, that age group. But now there's a cluster there, and that age group is very impressionable.
It very it is. And when she went to 23, no, you don't even be there.
You need to go.
Is
it Rushmore?
I remember that.
That's how old
Rushmore.
Okay. No, he was going to Harding.
Oh, he was going to Harding.
I took him out of Harding and sent him to Rushmore because of that. Wow. Yeah. He was going to Harding.
Yeah, because you can be, you can graduate at 18 at Harding, but if you failed a couple of times, I can see you being 20 years old.
I can too. I can too. Mm-hmm. But like she said, be there doing what you're supposed to do.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, don't be pulling all these younger kids out to be criminals and... Oh, that is so sad. It really is. Yeah. Give them a chance.
Definitely.
They need a chance.
Yeah. All this reminds me of what's going on in Chicago right now, as far as like the Chicago's Teachers Union is asking for smaller classrooms, asking for like literacy rates to be good amongst all the young people, and asking for better guidance counselors
to keep
some of our young people on track. So if they're moving from grade to grade, they're doing it in a way where they understand that after they get out of school, it's career or college or military or whatever it might be, setting the kids up for success, which is very, very important.
Right. And I think they have that here in Marion, those pathways. There's a lot of pathways, you know, for success. You know, you got the Marion Tech, you got Ohio State, you got Tri-Rivers, you got Rushmore. So all of those entities are there to help in whatever way.
And talk about the mentor program.
The mentor program, absolutely. Yes. It's almost doubled this year. Shout out to Marion City Schools and Ms. Tara Daya also is a part of that now. I think it's like maybe over, way over 150 maybe mentors. And that's a good program.
Yes, it is.
I became a mentor.
They're taking volunteers, right?
Yes, they're taking volunteers right now. They've got some training that's going on in November. So if you're out there and you can help a young child, it's just 1 hour a week, and it's needed. It's needed. I volunteered 2 years ago, and I asked for an African-American child because I felt that if that child see a face that looks like them, they tend to fare better in school. And but we need them for all children. That's just what I asked for. We need them for all children because that we got to get that grade up. So if we can help one child, we can help one child.
Their grade up, their spirits up.
Their spirits up.
Their pride
up. And it even helps the teachers. Yes, if the kids are passing, you know, it helps the teacher with their morale.
But
everybody's. The community benefits. Everybody benefits. So I give a shout out to the mentoring program.
Yes, absolutely.
It's really moving.
We are out of time.
Oh, we are.
We're out of time. We had a great show. Listen again tomorrow. Thank you.
Yeah. You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for politics. For Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump,
we welcome to these microphones Donald Trump. Donald, how are you?
God, how are you?
Doing very well. What a busy week for you, sir.
I have to tell you, I have not slept in days. I'm very, very excited. This is going to be a phenomenal, phenomenal convention, probably the biggest star-studded convention you've ever seen. We've got huge, huge stars. We've got Gary Busey, LaToya Jackson, Jose Canseco, some of the really, really big names from Celebrity Apprentice, and I think it really, really is.
Now what do we have in store for your big acceptance speech Thursday night?
Well, before I get to that, I have to talk about your terrible, terrible, terrible Governor John.